Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Warriors Huddle with me, Bram, and I am fired up to announce that joining me after way too long, a noted sports author with bylines at The Ringer, The Herald, Real GM, and Fansided, the former Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group, the current host of the Locked On Heat and Locked On NBA, and a man who can definitely start an NBA article with a Mike Tyson quote, Mr. Wes Goldberg. What's going on, Wes?
I'm glad you're keeping up with the byline. That's good. Good research. Good hosting here.
Come on, man. Of course. In fact, there's always kind of a weird thing that happens. You know, that's why I deep dive, try to research our guests before we go on. And that includes people I consider good friends and talk to a lot, including you. But the weird downside, that's, I don't know, the weird sidelight to that is when you are now on here and I'm looking at your face, I have seen your face on like Google results, like a bunch of other shit over the last half an hour. And so it almost like it screws up the power dynamic. I feel like I'm talking to a celebrity, man. So, you know, nicely done. Welcome back.
Well, don't worry. You're not.
Here's the question I wanted to set up with that Mike Tyson quote. How much would I have to pay you to get punched in the face by Mike Tyson right now? Like, you know, however old he is, he's like mid 50s. You have to sit there and just take one right to the face. What's the amount?
Mike Tyson is currently 57 years old. Just looked it up. Ooh, that's such a great question. I would do it for less than you'd think. if I'm being completely honest, like if you said $2,000, I would really consider it. Because I get a story out of it too. If this was like 27-year-old Mike Tyson, it would take like $1,000,000. Oh, but I don't. But yeah.
And like hospital stay, you know, like getting the money and then like
this is going on your insurance. Like, I don't know.
That's exactly right. Like, there's not gonna be any co-pays. Let's go ahead and keep that up. My experience with these kind of questions, you will not be shocked to learn. I love these kind of questions. I mean, I'll throw them out all the time. I find myself at Giants games asking how much I'd have to pay you to be Lucille for a day. Like, I'll fire these off.
Free. We'll do that for free. That's okay. The mascot, right?
Exactly right. My experience in these is whatever number the first person gives, give them a little bit of time. You can cut it in half. They'll probably take it. So like at 2000, I probably have you at like 800, you know, like right around, at least have your attention, you know?
Yeah. And, a couple of beers later, it'd be like, you'd do it for 800 though, right? And probably.
You're like, fuck yeah. I'd probably do it for five in the story, but it is what it is. Wes, we have what I hope is going to be a fun episode today. And in fact, I've got a segment that really was made with you in mind. I've used it with other people, I'll be honest with you. But when I first came up with it, I was looking for somebody who has your quickness, your sense of humor. So we'll see where it lands. The segment is called First Pick. And here's the idea. I'm going to give us random scenarios, some hoop related, some not hoop related. And you tell me who your first pick would be in that scenario. We'll start easy just to get the ball rolling and to underline that this is, in fact, an NBA podcast. If you had to pick between the four teams left to win the NBA championship this year, your first pick would be?
Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, surprise answer. Why?
Best player left, Luka Doncic. The least amount of questions, if I'm being honest. Yeah. Minnesota, I think there's questions about whether or not they can generate enough offense. Boston, I have just questions about how they perform when the lights are brightest. Nobody's picking the Pacers. So yeah, I had the best player left, best defense, I think, left based on how they're performing in the playoffs. And we can ignore the regular season numbers and just the scariest player and maybe the second scariest player with Kyrie Irving.
you will have to face this down the line. I'm a little bit older than you. We don't have to talk about how much older, but I am like, I'm running into all of these weird benchmarks of like, fuck, dude, I'm getting older. One of them is I find myself rooting for older athletes against younger athletes for no reason. And the Dallas thing is the perfect example. Wes, I am a Jewish American. I have been anti-Kyrie Irving for a lot of different random reasons. You know, you and I have had conversations. I am legitimately rooting for him just because I want them to beat the young Minnesota Wolves. Like there's no other, I have no other justification. He's never been on my team. I found myself last night watching and like pumping my fist as he scored, even though I have this like real nasty background with him. So yeah,
he is sort of the only old head left. Now that you mention it, like there is obviously no Kevin Durant, no Steph, no LeBron. Like even Anthony Davis feels like young compared to those guys, but he's 30, 31 from like a different generation, closer to the Kyrie generation. Yeah. I mean, it's Luka who's what, 25. It's Ant who's 22, 23. You've got Tatum, who's even at his, like he's 25, 26. Yeah. Like Kyrie's like the last old head left.
They had a picture of Kyrie in Cleveland and then they showed him now and they were putting it kind of juxtaposed with one another. And so you could see how much older he was. I think I said out loud to nobody, I like him. I don't know why I don't like him. I've been public about like not liking some of his flat world takes, and yet and still here I am. Scenario number two, Wes, your team is down 1 point. There are 5 seconds left. You can pick anybody and the National Basketball Association to put the ball in their hands and get a bucket. Who do you go to?
I go Luka.
Give me a why.
Between him and Nikola Jokic, those are the two guys that generate the best shots consistently in the league on any given possession. And it would be between those two guys. And maybe this is just recency bias because Luka's still in the playoffs, but I just like his ability with the ball in his hands to just stubbornly get a basket, whether it's stepping back, that little right to left step back three-pointer that he has in rhythm, or kind of taking a guy off the dribble and using his weird angles and footwork and all that stuff to get a or drawing a foul. I respect his ability to get shots from literally anywhere on the floor and then get to his spots and kind of just figure out what he needs to do. So I'll go Luka.
His ability to use his, and I'm not using this phrase right, but I'll use it anyways, his thickness, just his body type, you know, the way he can bully people and get 15 footers. I'm not sure I've seen other people be able to do it.
He pushes Jaden McDaniels, who had Jamal Murray in a chokehold for an entire series. People are like, well, you're going to just put him on Luka. And that's what, a big reason why I think a lot of people were favoring Minnesota in the series, and they might still obviously win the series, but like Luka just pushes Jaden McDaniels out of the way. And that's not new. That's on film. It's been there for a long time. And yeah, man, like it's just crazy because does he flex? Can you see a bicep if
that's
he does?
Exactly right.
Any muscle definition at all, but he's just like these Europeans, man. It's the same thing with Jokic. It's like they got this hidden DNA strength. Like it comes from like their parents, parents, parents. It's like, you don't mess with that. That's real. That's real old money strength right there.
And it's like no effort strength. You know, like when they show the slow motion replay of when he's pushing Jaden off, there's not like a grimace or something like that. It's just like, oh, like, you know, it's just him taking a walk, you know, and it's the easiest thing for him to do. You're making me regret my answer, especially the Jokic one. I've got Embiid here. I think
it's a good answer. That's a good answer.
You know, if it's a 2-point shot, I need, I'm down one. The idea of being able to go to a guy who can pretty much get a 4 to 5 foot shot anytime he wants, I'm on board with. Because I'm a fanboy and I'm wearing a Warriors hat, I have to tell you that if they were down two, I would pick Steph so that we'd have the option for winning the game. All right, our first non-basketball one, and it's one you're lucky I didn't just fire out of the gates. It was almost a part of your intro just so that we could start talking about it. If you had to fight one, you have to. Wes, it's unfortunate. You find yourself in a scenario where you have to fight a legendary creature. If you had to fight one, would you fight a zombie, a werewolf, or a vampire?
Vampire.
Don't easy. Say it like that's hella obvious.
No, easy. Yeah. so obvious, dude.
I mean, they can
so
fly,
obvious.
Dude. They can like disappear.
Go ahead and fly.
A lot of challenges.
You'll lose, like, what are you going to do? Fly away? You're going to lose the fight if you fly. See ya. They have no weapons. Werewolves have extremely sharp teeth. like the vampire teeth aren't like elongated to the point where they're weapons. You just keep them off the neck. You're good to go. Like zombies are terrifying because they feel no pain, right? Like there's a, and there, but well, some zombies are slow and then there's other zombies that are fast. It depends on what show you're watching, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's nicely played by you. Yeah.
But like a vampire is like pale. They don't go outside. They don't strike me as like in the gym. I feel like I could knock out a vampire pretty easy as long as they don't bite me. I feel like I'm pretty good there.
I mean, so look, we agree on one thing. The werewolf's out. I'm not fucking with a werewolf. I'm terrified of it. Super fast. You know,
like, if you just put big dog in the place of werewolf, I still would have just been like,
yeah, no, I'm out. I'm 100% out of not messing with animals. I'm with you on that. Now, zombie versus vampire. Another thing you said, right, is the distinction, which what universe are we talking about here? You know, like 28 days later, they are running hella fast. We're talking like Walking Dead. They're just shuffling nothing. I'm assuming it's the shuffling type, the slow kind. And I'm going that way. Like, really?
Do you have a weapon? You can't kill a zombie with your hands.
In this answer, I guess I am supposing that I have a weapon. Okay. You know, I mean, like I don't know what I would do without the weapon. So yes, I guess I am. And if you have a weapon, it seems like the only danger you have is if you fall. You know what I mean? Like the otherwise you just run around it and you're good. So it's zombie for me. But here's the follow up. So you're fighting a vampire. Fine. I'll give you that wrong answer. You can now pick anybody from the NBA, past or present, to help you in that fight, to go after this vampire with you. Who do you pick?
Well, now I'm actually going to go Kyrie because he's got all these potions and stuff on him. And that's how you kill a vampire, is with the garlic and kind of concoctions and things like that. So I'll go Kyrie because I bet you he's got all that stuff in his pocket.
There's a great chance that he'll burn some sage and everything's all good. You know, yep. like whatever it is.
That doesn't work against a zombie. It doesn't work against the dog. No, it works against the vampire.
He will have like a vampire tonic, you know, and then it just like somehow solves your problem.
It comes out of his weird brown shoes that he's wearing. He's like, well, luckily for you, I've been prepared for this since my days in Cleveland.
We mistook them for moccasins. Actually, they are vampire fighting shoes. You know, they're like nobody knew. And he was just ahead of the game. Well, since Kyrie's my favorite player, I can't, you know, give you any shit about that. We'll have to accept that as the right answer. Next question. Andrew Wiggins or Tyler Hero? All right. So like you are, I guess for your team. All right. I can tell you from the Warriors perspective, it's Hero. The Wiggins is a enigmatic presence right now. We are very concerned about who he could become. Also, mid-20s kid, you know, has a finals, I guess not MVP, but one hell of a finals appearance in his past. Maybe all he needs is a new location. So what do you think, man? Who would you prefer?
No question. I'm going Tyler Hero. Basketball feel, actually gives a shit, wants to get better. Sometimes that gets in his way where he probably takes a bit more than he could chew onto his plate, but I'd rather have that than the Andrew Wiggins not caring thing. Yeah, man, like the Wiggins experience is just, it's so up and down. It's so frustrating. With Hero, it's just, he is what he is, and that's fine. Like we've seen guys like Tyler Hero just ball for 10 years in the NBA. They never become a star, but they just sort of come off the bench, score 20 points when you need them to, and that's it. And that's at least you know what you're getting with him. With Wiggins, it's just like, I don't even know, man. It depends on and for him, it's like, it depends on the season. Like you can kind of tell what kind of season Andrew Wiggins is going to have within the first 10 games of the year. And you're like, oh crap, it's going to be like this. And then you're just screwed. You're just stuck with that for the next 5 months.
I had a friend through high school, went to college with me as well. And the whole time through high school, a bigger dude, husky guy, thick like Luca, right? And then somewhere around sophomore, junior year in college, he lost some weight. I mean, I remember coming back like post-summer break or something. You could tell, like he looked pretty good. And then 4 or 5 months after that, he put all the weight back on and we just stopped talking about it. It was what it was. That reminds me of the Wiggins experience. Like Wiggins in Minnesota forever, you know, it was like, oh, he wasn't really caring. It was what it was. And then he came here and we're all fired up and things seemingly changed. And now it feels like we're right back where it was. And, you know, maybe that change was temporary, not permanent. Now, if you are willing to consider the trade, I take back everything I just said, you know, great player, you may be interested in Andrew Wiggins. Here is an incredibly important question. Hard or soft tacos?
I'm going to go soft tacos on this. If I'm getting the flour tortilla, if it's a corn tortilla, I prefer the hard corn tortilla. If I'm getting that flour tortilla, I like a soft taco. I appreciate that because where I'm getting my crunch from is typically going to be the things inside the taco, whether it's the lettuce or onion or bell pepper, jalapeno, something like that is going to provide the crunch that is necessary in the whole taco experience. So if I'm having that, then yeah, I'm going soft flour tortilla.
If I had to handpick anyone in my life to deliver just a dynamite analysis on that, it was you. And you did, in fact. And in fact, you have like opened my eyes. Are there hard flour tortillas? Like, is that an option? I don't feel like I've ever had a hard flour tortilla. And if no, I haven't, don't they exist?
The closest thing would be the gordita from Taco Bell that it's like a puffed up flour thing.
But they like wrapped it like around the hard one.
Yeah, you're right. They should be able to make that. Does flour get hard? Flour doesn't really get hard, though. Flour just gets stale, I guess, is the problem. Like, you don't have, like, hard bread.
I mean, I'll take stale flour tortillas. Maybe it's just the tortilla chip. Maybe that's what happens. I can't tell you. I have no idea. Back to hoop. Starting an NBA franchise. All right? So, like a fantasy league. We are mm-hmm. All the teams have been disbanded. We are now starting our team up. You have the first pick in the draft. Can pick anybody in the entire field as your franchise cornerstone. Who do you take?
Jordan Poole. Just kidding. I will too soon. Am I the GM or am I the owner?
Oh, great question. Explain the difference. Why? What would influence both?
GM, it's just about winning. I'm trying to keep my job. If I'm the owner, I've got tickets to sell.
Yeah, I like it. Give me both. Let's start with the GM.
I get to pick anybody. Yeah. And I'm starting my franchise right now.
Right now.
I can't believe I keep saying Luka, but I keep going back to him.
Wow.
It's between him or Jokic. I think those are the two best players in the NBA right now. And so like I'm not gonna overthink it. Just give me one of the best players in the league. Jokic is 29, Luka is 25. So just I got the second best player in the league who's 4 years younger. I think I'm just gonna go. You know what? I might not go in that direction either because I'm just not sure how Luka's gonna age. So maybe I still go Jokic. I don't know. But if I'm the owner, screw it. Both answers. I'm going Anthony Edwards. Give me that guy. Just give me that guy.
Oh, huge reverse there. So, yeah. I mean, the names I had on here and who I thought we would be arguing about is Wemby versus Ann Edwards. And then the idea of going like established guy, kind of zagging, like let's get a championship in these next 5 years as opposed to, you know, like building this up and see where it goes.
If I'm the GM, I don't know that I have the job security enough to wait for these guys to hit their prime. But Jokic is like, okay, like let's just go win a championship. I'm good. And then once I'm a GM who's won a championship, now I got that on my resume. Try firing me now, you know?
And if they do, you've got another job somewhere. You know, like you'll land somewhere.
Exactly. But
I like that read. Wemby seems like the easy one, but I'm so worried about injuries.
Yes.
You know, I mean, totally like this fair. Is we've seen it a million times. People of this size. The lower extremities don't always hold up, and he is playing in a way that we've never seen this size used. So even after all that, Wemby, he is still doing shit that I've never seen, and I think his future is crazy bright, but I'd be worried. We have to use the words Ant Edwards. Do you believe in him? Face of the franchise or face of the league now? Like, is after these playoffs, if they ended today, is this Ant Edwards league in your opinion?
It depends on what Team USA ends up looking like for him. I think that's going to be huge for Ant because he's going to be on a team with the faces of the league, Steph, LeBron, KD. And how he kind of embodies himself in that context internationally and for the Olympics. And if he comes away with a gold medal as one of the best players on that team, which I think he already is.
Yep.
But if he plays like it, in this new experience for him, then yes, he will be firmly the face of the league. He's probably already there. A championship would also cement that. But anything, if they lose to Dallas, then I think then he needs the Team USA thing, and then he sort of just becomes the American face of the league. And I have been in on Ant since the draft process. And I remember debating our friend Connor about this because I think this was before the lottery. So it was before we knew that the Warriors were going to be picking second and not first. And I think, by the way, that the Warriors were very firmly, we're taking Anthony Edwards if he drops to us at number two. They were going to take him over Wiseman. They were going to take him over LaMelo, whoever. And that was it. And LaMelo basically wasn't even an option, you know, with a week into the draft, before the draft. But it got out pretty quick that Minnesota was taking Ant, and so that was a done deal. But I remember scouting him and just being like, I don't care what anybody says about this guy. He was inefficient at Georgia. He wasn't a great defensive player. All these, not a great playmaker, all these things. You're just drafting him because he's an athlete. And I was like, I don't know. I'm watching this guy, and he's a MF-er at Georgia. I watched a lot of those games, and it was like the last 5 minutes of close games at Georgia, and he's like waving off the best defender on the team and says, I got him to the primary score on the other team. I'm like, I loved that. Regardless of whether he stopped him or not, he wanted it. And you could just tell, like, this guy was super competitive, had all the talent in the world. He was on a lousy Georgia team that had a lousy system that didn't allow him to do anything or get anywhere on the floor because he was just triple teamed all the time. I'm like, I was all the way in on that guy. And everything he's done ever since then has just bolstered that opinion.
I remember saying during that draft, who is Ant Edwards? And I said that like 100 times. So I was kind of ahead of the curve too, kind of in a different way. You know, he has impressed me a bunch of times this offseason, this postseason. One of them was the end of that Denver series when Jokic came up and tried to punk him, gave him the whys as he was waving to the crowd. And whether or not he was right to wave to the crowd, this compliment has nothing to do with that decision. But once he decided to do that, you know, once he's in and he's done it, and Jokic comes up and wants to make him feel bad, Edwards' decision to be like, no, fuck you. You know, like, no, pointing to the scoreboard. Like, this is.
Yeah, look at the score.
You want to stop us? Then stop us. But now that it's happened, I can do what I want. I like that.
He's authentic. And it's not, you want athletes to have that machismo. You want them to have that confidence, that unwavering swagger. You want them. And there, so many athletes pretend. And that's fine. Like, if you don't fake it till you make it, right? Like, totally do that. But it's not fake with him. He couldn't go the other way. There is no humble version of Anthony Edwards. He couldn't go like it wouldn't be in him to be like, nah, you're right, Jokic. Like, I probably shouldn't have done that. My bad. Like, that doesn't exist in any universe for Anthony Edwards. And that's what's so cool. And I think that's what is so inspiring if you're his teammate, is it doesn't matter if that guy goes 3 for 15 right into the fourth quarter. He knows the next one's going in. He is, and he knows that my next one is going in too. And so he's just got like this permeating confidence. It's so crazy, and it just ripples off the screen. It's just wild. He is literally my favorite player in the NBA. And it's the first time I think I've ever gotten this excited about a player since young Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, I know what kind of a compliment that is for you to say. The genuine aspect, putting those two points together. Bravado can be annoying. I mean, it depends on the person. You know, it can hit you in the wrong way. It's over machismo. If it's genuine, it doesn't. You know, it's admirable.
People love authentic.
They really. At the end of the day, I get the feeling that M. Edwards is the kind of dude you could come up with anything. Snooker, the weird version of pool, like anything, and he will tell you with 100% confidence and like genuine confidence, I am the best person who has ever done that ever, even if I've never done it. Like, I will, like, the first time I do it, I'm going to be the best person you have ever seen.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The other thing from the end of that Denver series, and I wasn't sure we were going to fit this in, but I'd love your opinion. The Jaden McDaniels attempted dunk, right? So, like, it's right after Ant Edwards waves. He throws it to Jaden. game's over, series, the whole thing's done. And instead of just holding the ball, he tries to bounce it off the floor and tip dunk it in. The kind of thing you would do in an all-star game, not at the end of a seven-game hard-fought series against the defending champs. Right move, you know? Like, what'd you think of that?
See, yeah, I didn't like that. That to me was a little bit more like act like you've been there.
Yeah, dude. That's
like that's does anybody on Denver do that? Does Aaron Gordon do that if he beats you in games? Right. No, he doesn't. They've won a champion. Act like you've been there.
You are stuck on a long flight, man. All right. No phone, no book, nothing. You are stuck there, nothing to take your attention. But good news, you get to pick someone from the NBA to sit next to and talk to. Who do you pick?
Player or just anybody? You were specific in that. Okay, yeah, you were specific in that language. Okay. Can I Men in Black version, they don't recognize me anymore?
Oh,
first time meeting this person.
Yes, okay. Sure.
Eric Spoelstra. Cause he knows who I am, so he would like clam up. But what I've always wanted to get was him candid, off the record, just bros talking kind of thing. Cause I think he's a fascinating person who has a lot of eclectic interests that he doesn't really talk about. And I would be really interested to just kind of get to know more about how he ticks, because he is so close. He's like the opposite of Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr will just tell you about his day and how he loves the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And to anybody, he'll just talk to anybody about it. Like, you can really feel like you can get to know Steve Kerr if you spend enough time around him. And I've never really had that with Spo. And I'd be very interested to actually get to know this person where he doesn't really break down. He doesn't break that wall with the media. And that's why I need the little Men in Black flashy thing.
I love that. Yeah. I was like, excuse me, sir. Bow. And then I'll come the questions. Give me an example. What kind of questions? If he was going to answer, you know, like, for sure, you're going to get a genuine answer. Spend a little bit of time exploring the topic. What would you throw out there?
Dorky stuff, man. Like, I know he's all into like the self-help stuff. He reads like business books. He reads like leadership stuff, like he reads about like military, like war and generals. I'm like, just tell me all about that. Like, that's what I want. It's reading about presidents, Winston Churchill. Like, I want the knowledge, man. Like, give me all that stuff.
I like that. I'll follow suit. And turns out I won't have to use the pen thing. I'll pick Steve Kerr. It sounds like he'll just talk to me. And if I had it, like, only one topic, we had to spend the whole time. It's like, the thing that speaks to me about Kerr is the breadth of his experience, right? And so, like, you know, Jordan, I mean, Popovich, like, you'd get some good stuff. Phil Jackson, what kind of a weirdo was he? You know, what kind of books did he ask you to read? But the period of his career I'd want to hear more about than the Warriors, than the Bulls, anyone, the Jailblazers. The time he spent on that fucking team with like Rasheed Wallace and like all those guys and like Bonzi Wells, like what those bus rides were like and like what was happening in the hotels. I would like a.
It is the one thing that he doesn't totally open up about. And that might just be a trauma thing. Like, he might have just like pushed it down into his subconscious somewhere. But that's great. That's great.
I love the idea of, so, you know, like, just like you were saying, Kerr's all about open about everything, whatever it is. You know, we're talking about his son. We're talking about all these things. And then I like, so what about the Jailblazer? He's like, fuck you. Like, I'll never talk about that again. Like, suddenly it's over. He fake sleeps. And we just,
his eye starts twitching and he just like disconnects.
You get one pizza topping for the rest of your life. What is it?
Cheese.
That's
it? Does cheese already count? Like,
no,
okay.
I'll give you that. I mean, you can order any kind of
part of the pizza, right?
That pizza from here on out. Are you going, it's just pizza or just cheese? You're not doing like pepperoni. You're not adding
follow-up. Follow-up question. Do I have the option to, for the rest of my life, have it with this topping and also have it plain? Or does every pizza I ever have to include the topping?
This is it. You tell me cheese, that's all you're getting from here on out. You tell me pepperoni, the cheese is included. You know, like, you're going.
But I can't take the pepperoni off. It's always pepperoni.
It's on there.
Then just cheese. Then just cheese. Yeah. Easy. Easy, easy, easy.
Are you a vanilla ice cream guy?
I do not. I don't hate any ice creams.
Well, but if you're going to pick any, the just cheese is the vanilla ice cream pick, you know, like.
No, give me some chocolate with more chocolate in it. Like I forget which one it is, if it's Haagen-Dazs or something like that. It's chocolate with like brownie chunk. It's the opposite. Just give me the most rich, decadent, chewy chocolate mess possible.
I got too excited and fired off the wrong fire up. I was supposed to follow up on pizza shit and I was going to go this direction, round or square.
On pizza?
Huh? Have you ever had a square pizza?
Yeah, sure. So we round meat, but then you slice it and you have triangles. Give me the New York style cheese slice. If that should answer any follow-ups you have on pizza, like a proper thin crust, lose the ranch. I don't know why people dip
weird
pizza and ranch. It's such a weird thing.
Yeah.
I don't know where it comes from.
It's like cereal. Like, I like ranch, but we don't need to throw it into pizza.
Time and place.
There's some limits. There's some limits on where the ranch should go. Wes, what franchise is going to win the most titles over the next 10 years?
Oh, wow. What a great question. The most titles over the next 10 years. So the first three teams that come to mind are the Timberwolves, the Mavericks, and the Thunder. I still think the Nuggets get at least one more, if not two. I think the Thunder have to make real moves, but they have everything that you need to do that.
Every draft pick in the fucking books for like the next 10 years.
But if there is something that Sam Presti's not good at, it's this whole part of it. It's the go from Western Conference Finals to NBA Finals champion. He's never really figured out how to make the fringe moves there, but maybe he's learned from the last time.
You don't think Gordon Haywood was an incredible pickup? He didn't like put him over the edge, or?
Ah, man, this is good. I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to go boring. I'm going to say Denver because I feel pretty confident that they're going to get two more over the next 10 years. And I don't know how much more the other guys get. Luka can always enter free agency in 2026. We'll see how the Kyrie experience goes for several more years because you never really know with that guy. And you know, until Minnesota and Oklahoma City really do it, I don't know that they can do it. So I'll go Denver.
This didn't go the way I wanted it to. I thought you were going to go OKC. Like about 100%, I thought you were going that direction. And I had this like kind of pompous, condescending response of like, well, we don't know about them, but we do know about Denver. And then you articulated it better than I just did. So fuck yourself, Wes. Nicely played.
So when it comes to OKC and Victor Wembanyama specifically, I get a little nervous because NBA dorks love both of those things so much that anytime like all of NBA dorkdom is fully in on those things, my initial reaction is, even though I think I watched the Thunder more than any other team that's not the Heat this season. I love watching that team. I have no problem with that team. I love Victor Wembanyama. Everything about him. I love him. But as soon as NBA dorkdom kind of goes all in on this stuff, my initial reaction is to push the brakes and just be like, well, they haven't done anything yet, so relax. Like, stop giving them MVPs and championships before they actually do it themselves.
You're not wrong. I'm going to give Chet Holmgren first a criticism and then a compliment. Criticism. If I'm worried about Wemby's future health-wise, we got, you know, same thing. We got to throw it out for Chet. He's got even less meat on the bones. But here's the compliment. I've been impressed by him throughout. Chet, I didn't expect that much in the draft. I was the person who was wrong there too. People were telling me he's a unicorn. He was. I was off. The thing that impresses me the most about his game isn't when he succeeds. It's when he gets dunked on because he doesn't care. You know, like that was the thing that everybody said. He's too skinny. He's going to get pushed around. And that does. It does happen occasionally, but it doesn't impact him at all. The very next play, he's fighting just as hard. He doesn't care at all. It hasn't bothered him. You know, there's a dog associated with that, you know, that like, no, F you, I'm here to compete. So sure, you did that, but I'm still on there. It's that skill set that impresses me the most because he's just going to keep coming. You can't discourage him.
Well said. Yeah. He's got a little bit of that Anthony Edwards kind of thing in him a little bit.
Yeah. And it's genuine. That's exactly right. I almost sent you this question in advance because it's not fair to spring it on you, but too late.
But you can do it anyway. Okay.
All right. You get to be a member of anyone's entourage, any celebrity you want, anyone's entourage for a full year. That's your only job, dude. You're not working. You are fine. You're just going to go kick it as a member of the entourage. What do you do?
So is it from this moment on?
Yes.
Or can I pick being in an entourage from a past year? Can I go historical on this?
No, go ahead. Yeah. There's a time machine available here.
All right. So I want, if it's for the past year, I want to be part of Kendrick Lamar's entourage over the last year just to get the inside scoop of what the hell happened and how he did it. But since it feels like that time is over, if I had to go forward, that's such a good question. Oh, I like my Kendrick Lamar answer too much. I'm going to stick with that.
That's a great answer. It's the perfect answer. This one for me is going to reflect my age again. Okay. So I'm going to tell you Steph Curry, but it's not a fanboy thing. It's not like, I mean, you know, I love Steph and would love to see, but the reason it reflects the age, I would imagine being a part of Steph Curry's entourage now is like going to Vegas when you are washed, when you're an adult. You know, like it's no longer like, I'm not going balls to the wall. We're not out till 6 a.m. Like, I'm not gambling huge.
You're like, it's Saturday night and we're going to go see Cirque du Soleil?
You know, like, something like that, but great seats, an incredible meal, yes, you know, yes. Like the suite I'm in is unbelievable. Right. Like the, and I am old enough or like, dude, that speaks to me. Like, oh, let's
and
go.
Steph's and Steph's like, after all the show and the dinner, and he's like, you know what? Let's go get a cocktail. And everybody's like, what?
Exactly.
Like,
exactly, okay.
But he's like, but at the hotel lobby bar. And we're like, oh,
and we all know it's just one. It's not going to spill over. It's not going to be ridiculous. You know, like we might stop at Aisha's restaurant at some point. I'm on board. You like,
just to say hi, kiss on the cheek, and then keep it moving. Yep.
Yeah, why not? 100%.
Yep.
Who, Wes, is more athletic? NBA players or NFL players?
NBA players. It's not close.
Why?
Because they don't have offensive linemen in the NBA. Uh-huh. Like I'm just, if we're just going by like the median, the average, it's the NBA player. It's not close. Plus, they're all way taller than NFL players.
Yep.
Like, and they have, yeah, it's not close. It's literally not even close. And that's, it was such a dumb debate. Like, I understand like NFL players, like you can never get on the field with us because we would just, you know, knock you out and like, yeah, okay, sure, whatever. Like that wasn't like, but NBA players are way more athletic than NFL players.
And the game, right? And so I'm stealing some of this from the author of this debate, Austin Rivers, whose podcast, I don't know if you listen to, has complete, like player podcasts have completely screwed me up as a fan because people I've sports hated for like decades, I suddenly really like. And Austin Rivers is one of those guys.
You but hated Austin Rivers? He was never good enough. He was never good enough to warrant sports hate.
I think we both know that I don't like deal with this from a logic perspective. Who knows? He hits some shot in a meaningless game. And I was like, I hate you now. Like I can't trace it back. I have no idea where that came from. But I can tell you that when he was talking about this, the thing that he pointed out isn't, I agree with what you said, just the sheer athleticism, but it's how the game is played. With the NFL, it stops every single play. And so the advantage of that is you can have a really niche specific skill and just go in for that one play. You know, you're a cover linebacker. You can find these little moments when you can get out there. Hoops continuous. You are exposed. If you can't play offense, if you can't play defense, you are going to be destroyed.
Last night, Luka Doncic actually got up and deflected a lob to Rudy Gobert. Nobody thought he could do that.
Yeah.
And any NFL player that looked like Luka wouldn't be able to do it. But to your point, you got to be able to do it every once in a while. Like it's not close.
Our final topic. And man, am I excited for it. All right. Judgment Theater. Yeah. So the scenario, we're looking at Minnesota's coaching scenario right now. And so for people who may not have been paying attention, Chris Finch is the head coach very early in the playoffs. Chris Finch, I think it was Mike Conley, has one of his own players fall into him. He tears his ACL. And so now he can't walk around anymore. So Finch is still coaching. He's still out there. But the team has decided there's an obvious advantage in having someone to be able to stalk the sidelines and, you know, go up and talk to people. So it's Micah Norrie, the assistant coach, who's basically serving as the head coach. Chris Finch is on the bench. All right. Now, the judgment theater is this. If you were Chris Finch, you know, and you see Micah Norrie doing well, and you may or may not be speeding towards a totally unexpected title, in which case, maybe, I don't know if it would happen, but maybe. Maybe Norrie gets the attention of the fans. Maybe Norrie gets the affection of the front office. You know, I mean, all of us would now be thinking if there was any problem next year and Finch is the head coach, there'd be some thoughts on the back of people's mind. Maybe this should be Norrie, which leads to the judgment theater. If you're Chris Finch, does any portion of you hope they do not win a title? All right. So I'm going to guess for you. You can guess for me. You can go for me first. What do you think, dude? Right. I'm Chris Finch. I'm sitting back there. I'm in the second row. I'm watching this play out. If there's a button I could press to stop them from winning the title, would I press it?
There's no way you press that button, but you already outed yourself by saying that none of your judgments are rooted in logic. So yeah, you push the button.
I press that button so fucking fast, Wes. I'd press it right now. I might have a conversation with Coach Norrie now. You remember Silence of the Lambs? And there's this scene where Hannibal Lecter gets wheeled out in that thing. You know, like they're like, it's a prisoner transfer. And it's like a cargo thing. Like, so he's like standing up, but he can't move at all. I would tell Coach Norrie, they're going to put me in one of these things. You're going to wheel my ass around. Like, I don't give a fuck where we go. I don't care who you're talking to. I don't care. If you need to go out there on the floor and go talk to Ant Edwards, you are wheeling me next to you, and I'm going to be a part of that. And if that can't happen, I am pressing that button so ferociously. Like, I'd want them to get we can keep going. I want my team to have some experience. So, no, game 6, 7 Western Conference Finals, fine. I don't need us. I don't need us to go to the finals. I don't need us to win. I'm way too selfish, man. I'm pressing it hard for you. So you're going to tell me no. You have to because of the way you set this up. But I don't believe you, Wes. I do not believe you. You and I are way too similar. You are a competitive dude. You are over analytical the way that I am. I think at night, if you're Chris Finch, there's a portion of you who's like, this motherfucker, you know, like I am, all of my thunder's being stolen. And at like 2 a.m., you roll over, bow, press the button, and then feel guilty about it. But you would press it. What's your answer?
I'm not pushing that button. I think my problem is that I actually have read too much about how it works with Finch. Like it, he is actually telling Nori what to do. And then Nori is like one of those little robots that kind of just moves around. And that's probably, that's taking probably too much credit away from Nori. I'm sure he's making calls on the fly also, but like Finch is running all the practices. He's running all the film sessions. Even today he laid into the team with a really difficult film session, a rough one or whatever the word is that he used. And like even in game one against Dallas, you could see him screaming at Nori to telling, hey, tell him something. Like, I don't know what he was talking about, but he's basically like, tell him to say this or something like that. So he's still puppet mastering the whole thing. And if I had that, the thing I couldn't do now is if it was the Steve Kerr situation with Walton.
Yeah.
That's different.
You're not there.
Because Kerr couldn't even sit there. Kerr's back was so bad that he couldn't even sit there on those seats. And then that I would have been like, I always wondered with Steve Kerr. I was like, how do you do it? I guess you just don't, there is no real button. You don't have a choice. Like you just have to, but man, I must've been eating at him.
I can tell you how he did it. Cause what I remember is cause they won 24 in a row. Right. I mean, that's the season they started off like on fire. And I remember Kerr coming out. I remember the direct quote and I'll have to look this up. And if I'm wrong, I apologize. But what I remember him saying is he intimated, he's like, do you know how good our system has to be for us to be 24-0 despite like not having our head coach here, you know? And it was this, like, he complimented Walton and he's implementing the system, but it was like, oh, this has nothing to do with Walton without actually saying this has nothing to do with Walton, which means I think he would press the button too. Maybe I'm just such a sick person, dude, that I'm projecting this button pressing on everyone. You know what it made me think of? And this is fresh in my mind just because of that Lakers show on HBO, Pat Riley. You know, Pat Riley was an assistant coach. He gets an opportunity, you know, because of like some turmoil within the team. It wasn't a giant injury. And then he goes on to be, if not the best coach in history, like part of the conversation, you know? And so am I sick enough to be Chris Finch and like go home and watch?
Well, Pat Riley did it. Pat Riley did it. He fired Stan Van Gundy on the way to winning a championship. Like, this team's way too good. See? You're out of here. I'm taking my coaching reins back. And then in 2 years, he was like, I'm done with it. As soon as Shaq was washed, he was like, ah, now I'm out. Spoelstra, you're in charge now. You deal with this for 3 years.
Okay. Yep. I'm pressing the button. I'm pressing the button in the first round. The second we beat Denver, like, nope. Like, I'm out, dude. Like, we got to – no whammies. I'm out of here. This can't go any further. Sorry, Coach Nori. Good job. But, you know, we'll see you next season. We'll see
You would have to have it to be like a Rick Carlisle situation where like he doesn't take that timeout, like he wastes the timeout, keeps it in his pocket at the end of game one against the Celtics. That would be the perfect time, is you would wait for Nori to make a mistake like that, and then you hit the button, and then you say like, and then all the fans be like, well, if only we had Finch, that would have never happened. And then you'd be like, yes, that's right.
No, 100%. And to be clear, I'm not showing anybody I'm pressing the button. I'm not saying, I'm like, this is a behind the scenes thing. I'm saying all the right things. Nori is incredible. Like, he's better than me. Like, I'm being like overly humble. I'm pushing him. And then when no one's looking, I'm pressing the button and ending the season for everybody because I am that selfish and I do have competition problems.
Yep. That's the right way to do it.
I won't get to ask you this again. So that's a perfect place to stop, but I'm going to ask anyways. Mac and cheese, fork or spoon?
Who eats it with a spoon? That's insane behavior. What?
I didn't tell you I did it. I'm not going to be able to justify
it. I didn't even know there's a thing. You must do it. Nobody else would come up with that unless they do it.
Don't you throw that at me. Don't you worry about how I came up with it or whether or not I know somebody. Maybe my 9-year-old uses the spoon.
That was actually like if it's a child, spoon, whatever you got to do. Like, I'm not going to just get the food in the mouth. I understand. But like, as an adult person with opposable thumbs, it's a fork. That's insane behavior to do it with a spoon.
More than anything, I wish I had the technological prowess to have like end this episode with a CGI version of me eating mac and cheese with a fucking spoon right now. just as a symbolic FU. This is working great. Maybe I like sporks. Don't you worry about the silverware that I use in specific.
Spork is a fork. A spork is a fork. It's got the little prongs. It's fully in the fork family.
It's also a spoon. There's no spaces between the prongs. That's the spoon part.
There's little, very small spaces. Very small spaces at the end. They're pronged. It's a fork. If you could stab something, it's a fork.
This feels like a full segment on its own, so I'll save it for a future podcast. Wes, missed you, man. Fun. I really appreciate this. Appreciate the flexibility. I know there are people out there who need way more Wes Goldberg in their life. For those people, where do they go?
On Twitter, WC Goldberg. I've got the Locked On NBA show. If you're interested in the NBA, Locked On Heat, which you're probably not interested in, but it's there every day. And then I just started a new podcast, the Just Basketball Podcast. We're doing that 3 days a week. Also talking about the NBA.
Like it a lot. I like the format of that. I watched more than a few today. It was almost in the intro. For us, I'll just plug our new website, alwaysspoons.com. Pretty solid. You may want to look at that. Anyways, with that in mind, go Warriors! Hopefully, we'll see you next week.
Good, good.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.